Okay, what you all just saw me do there, if you're looking up here, we'll get rolling here in a second, but you can see this voice signature and stuff. We'll be doing this for you all as well. This is called podcasting, and it's creating a digital recording of what I'm saying right now, and these will be posted to the course website. So, and they'll be archived, so for the future, you can reference that on your Vitas, etc. Folks can listen to your podcast if you want to share it with them, and it'll be out there until I guess we max out the server and Boyd complains. But all right, we really don't need to look at this too much until later on in our class period. So this is graduate seminar. Forestry 512, WFS 512, FWS 612, okay? And if you're a master's student, you need to either be in Forestry 512 or WFS 512. 612 is reserved for PhD students, although basically the requirements are going to be identical. The instructor of record for the 512 sections is me, and for the 612 is Dr. Hodges, although we teach this together and lead it together. Currently, we do not have a teaching assistant this semester, and we are trying to secure one. If you know of any PhD students that have completed two semesters of 612, please pass that word on to them. Okay? Sharon? Sharon's going to do it. Excellent. Good. Let's give Sharon a round of applause, because it requires a lot of coordination to have these activities go on in a timely manner. We're only in here for 50 minutes. And we chose to do it, and we changed seminar from being at the end of the day on a Monday to the middle of the week, middle of the day. But that also means that we probably have a class coming in after us. We'll find out today. That means that we'll need to be very timely with respect to delivering the information, you all delivering your presentations and keeping things rolling, and it certainly helps to have a teaching assistant to do those activities. Okay. You all have, let's see here, the syllabus, correct? That's the first handout. And you can see, did you get a copy, Don? Okay. You can see the contact information for Dr. Hodges and I. And we're upstairs here in Ellington. Stop by any time if you have questions, email. There is a course website, and for some reason, one of the reasons I started up my laptop here was, there we go. We do have a signal now. I wasn't getting it a second ago. All right, I'll show you how you get to the website. You can bring up our department website, which is fwf.ag.utk.edu, and then you go underneath of student resources, y'all. Underneath of student resources, class websites, and they all link to the same thing, Forestry 512, WFS 512, and 612, FWF 612, all go to the same web page. And there it is, okay? Now, for the most part, what would you use this for? Not a whole lot. This is basically for folks that are not in seminar to kind of see what's going on. Once we get everybody's topics and what they're going to be presenting on, they'll be posted here. You can see a schedule. Then there's some examples here of their three different types of presentations, which we'll talk about between today and next Wednesday. Three different types of presentations, and examples of those are right there in PDF format. And then below that, you'll see presenters. Our first presenter is Dr. Graham Hickling, faculty presenter, on the 23rd, so the week after, 2 weeks from now. And his slides will be there along with the podcast. We have a couple students that have already signed up for presentations. They came by and they saw me, and we'll be passing around a sign-up sheet here in a little bit. And your podcast will go down there. Now, at the very bottom, there are some department resources, just a little FYI. Before we get there, you can see archives of previous semesters, so you can look at all the presentations that were given last semester. And there's some department stuff like the student handbook and travel fund stuff and travel request form and things like that, some department forms that may be useful for you. Okay. So that's an overview of the website. We are meeting in here. obviously, from 1220 to 110, and we likely won't be able to go too much over 110. The goal, y'all, of seminar, of graduate seminar, is to give you all opportunities to practice presenting in front of a public audience, to share your ideas of your research projects that you're working on, as well as contemporary topics with the faculty members and with fellow students, and to get feedback and to create a learning environment through the dialogue that develops during seminar. The expected outcomes are should become pretty proficient in using PowerPoint, should become comfortable with, hopefully by the end, with fielding questions from the audience, etc. Okay? So this is your opportunity to build those skills. This is your first, we're kind of the first sounding board often. Outside of your own lab and your advisor, this is the department's first sounding board for what you're doing and to get feedback. And so it's not meant to be, you know, something that's painful, although some of you might think that it is. It's really to provide comments. And all the folks, including yourselves, when you're not presenting, you'll be given comment sheets. And it's expected everybody provides comments. It'll be useful for the speakers. And the best comments are not, hey, you rock, good job. You know, every presentation that's given, there are things to critique on and to provide suggestions, certainly in a very constructive manner. Okay? So this is to help you all, and it's intended to be a professional forum, a professional atmosphere, and hopefully an opportunity for all of us to learn about the diversity of our department, all the activities going on, and for those students, which we'll talk about, that present on a topic, a contemporary topic, something that maybe we haven't heard about before with respect to something that is very interesting in natural resources. Okay. So that is kind of the outline of and the foundation of seminar. You can see the how we're going to assess you. 64% of your grade, so about a little less than two-thirds, is going to be your presentation. And it's not just getting up here. There are other components that you're graded on as well, which we'll talk about. And 36% is attendance. That means we meet 15 times, 2.4% of your grade is showing up every single time. Now, you can get excused absences in seminar, and those include doing field research, being ill, family concerns that come up, and going to conferences, and there may be some other things. I'm the direct contact, okay, for those. And when you email, you need to email me, because I'm going to be keeping track of it. And actually, it'll be Sharon that'll also be keeping track of. And we keep track of not just your attendance, but we keep track of all the students that come here, all of the faculty. It goes into their faculty reviews. Dr. Belli looks at those. He shares the attendance of all the non-enrolled students with your advisor. So coming to seminar is important to y'all. But it's important to the entire department, and that's what it's about. It's getting folks together. And that's so darn important in our department, where we're a very diverse group, and we're spread across lots of different buildings, etc. All right? So it's a fun opportunity. And
can I ask something real quick?
Yeah.
Harass your major professor to get them to come to seminar as well.
Absolutely.
We are trying to establish a tradition of having a seminar once a week in the department and getting a lot of involved. So. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Please do that. And fellow students in your lab. And then also, Dr. Belli has in the past, and I assume again this year, Sharon's been kind of coordinating that, provides some type of refreshments and usually something to snack on as well. And it's even more appropriate now that it's during the lunch hour. Okay. Don't hesitate to bring something as well if you want to brown bag it. All right, let's see here. Okay, with respect to your grade, FWF 612 is grade, gets a letter grade. Okay, it's based on this scale here, and we certainly don't expect anybody to get less than a C. We certainly hope not, okay? In the 512 classes, it's currently pass or fail. We're in the process of submitting paperwork to change that for future semesters. In 512, you need to earn 80% or above to get a passing grade. It may seem like that's asking a lot, but if you follow through all the things that we outlined for you to do, everybody will not have too much difficulty getting 80% or above, okay? So, all right. There's the tentative schedule. This is the largest enrollment that we ever had in seminar. We actually currently have 25 students enrolled, and we actually have 24 slots. So if there is one student, any student in here that it may be their second seminar and they're going to be here in the fall, they have some flexibility. Like they say when you're in the airport, if you have flexibility with your flight plans, come and talk to the attendant, come and talk to us, okay? If not, we're going to have to work something out, because last semester that was okay. This happened last semester, and we put three people on the last seminar time. That won't probably work this time, because I'm assuming we'll have a class following us, so we couldn't go over. But we'll have to figure something out. If there is anybody that'll volunteer, then we'll just have to meet a special session or something like that, or during the final exam time, or, you know, whatever.
Can I interrupt? I got a couple of emails with questions about seminar in terms of how many times you're required to take it. The old requirement was you had to enroll in 512 every fall semester that you were in residence at UT. That was when we only offered it fall semester. Now it's offered fall and spring semester. The new requirement is you have to take 512 twice during your education, master's education here. So if you're going to be here another year, you certainly are welcome to wait until next year to take it. The only requirement is you have to take it twice. And you do have an opportunity both semesters now.
Same as 612, right?
Correct. Yeah.
You're welcome to take it more. Okay. Let's see. Okay, as far as the tentative schedule, the first presentation is going to be on the 23rd, as I mentioned, Dr. Graham Hickling. And then after that, starting January 30th, y'all, 3 weeks or so from now, okay? Graduate student presentation start. Now, I forced one of my students to actually be one of the presenters on the first day, because they don't have a choice, and one of my other students is doing it on the second one. So we are going to have two brave folks for those first two initial seminars, which hopefully is somebody that maybe is here for their second semester, or they've been here, or their second seminar, or they already really have a proposal to their first presentation, which we'll talk about here in a second, that's on your proposing your research, that maybe already have a presentation like that put together. Okay, I'll be passing that around shortly. Okay. Presentation requirements. You're enrolled in seminar twice, okay, and there are three different seminars you can give, and this is based on a vote, actually, by the faculty. The faculty came up, Don and I came up with some ideas. We got feedback from the faculty last summer, and then we voted on what should constitute seminar, okay? Your first seminar is on your proposed research. Now, for folks that are brand new, that may be kind of challenging to get things together. This may be another reason, if you're brand new January, that, hey, let's just forego this until the fall. But you'll be expected to get your information together and to do a presentation on your proposed research. We'll talk about the details of those. I'll give you an example here later on, too, of a presentation. Second seminar can be on two things. Number one, it can be on research that you are doing here at the University of Tennessee, but not that you are going to present during your defense. And that is, we're very emphatic about that. You are already required by the department to present your master's or thesis results, okay, during your defense. Seminar is not the forum for that, okay? Your defense is for that. And we want to encourage folks to go to defenses. If they've already heard you once in seminar, then what's the point in going to your defense? Or vice versa, right? Well, it really wouldn't be vice versa. Okay? So, if you're going to do a research presentation for your second seminar, it needs to be on something you're not going to present. Now, for master's students, that usually isn't the case because you don't have a really large, encompassing research project because you're only here for a short duration. PhD students, it's usually no problem because you're going to be doing five different studies and you're only going to have time to present two of them during your defense. Pick one of those and you can certainly present on that. Or if you have a project that you're going to be, you know, presenting at a conference. That's another reason to have that opportunity. The second opportunity is to present on a contemporary topic. Now, contemporary topic means exactly that. It's new, it's novel, it is cutting edge, it's something that we're just learning about. Most of the faculty will probably not know very much about a contemporary topic. Last semester, folks that did contemporary topic, contemporary. For example, comparing different management techniques that we know how to do and we've known for 20 years. That's not contemporary. All right? What we have done is Dr. Hodges and I have sent an email out to all the faculty to respond by next Monday, to provide a list of contemporary topics in their area of expertise. So by next Wednesday, we'll have a list of probably 50 to 100 topics that you could choose from, or it could at least generate ideas. If you're doing a topic, I recommend you come and talk to us first and say, this is what I'm thinking of doing, and get the green light. Otherwise, you're going to be severely marked down, okay? Because that is the contemporary aspect is one of the evaluation criteria. Okay? So, just want to make sure that we're all on the same page. I'll give you an example here of a contemporary topic. Actually, it'll be on next Wednesday and go through a lecture presentation on how it's supposed to be developed. Now, that contemporary topic presentation is to get you involved in a temporary topic, but also to get lecture type experience. And that's kind of the basis of the structure of that format, where you're actually giving out handouts, and you're talking again just about a topic as opposed to research. Although there will be certainly research that is the basis of your lecture, like your professors are doing, or you as TAs may do as well. Okay? So you have two options there. Your presentations are 15 to 20 minutes. If you go under, you're deducted. If you go over, you're deducted points. And we'll talk about how much later on. And you'll have 5 minutes for questions, okay? And so at a maximum, 25 minutes is all we can spend. And that is one presenter to another, and then we're at 50 minutes, okay? So when you present, y'all, you need to be here at least 10 minutes before class, okay? Down here with Dr. Hodges and I with your presentation on a USB. Don't send it to your email because you never know if this wireless is going to work or not. Bring it on a USB drive. We can plug it in and we can download it very quickly, okay? Is that clear? Any questions? All right. Okay, so what are the presentation requirements? The next two handouts illustrate those. The first handout here is explaining the requirements, and the second handout is exactly what Dr. Hodges and I and Sharon will have when we're grading you. All three of us will grade you. Sharon won't grade the 612 students, okay, just the master students. All right? And then we average our grades together. All right. The grading sheet falls directly in line with the presentation requirements, so there's no reason for us to go over both. All right? So, first of all, the general requirement, one presentation, PowerPoint presentation is required. All these details are below. Second, presentation flyer for posting. Here's an example that I put that one of my grad students had from actually a couple semesters ago. All right? This is, you can be very creative and different. You don't need to do it identical to this, but there are components on here to make note of. Number one, the top or someplace on there indicate that it's a forestry, wildlife, and fisheries graduate seminar. These are going to be posted around our building, but they're also sent to Kasner, and Kasner posts them on their website where other folks can access and see the activities going on our college campus. Someplace you need a title, right? You may have a picture or graphics depending on what you're doing, etc. The next thing you need to have is your name on there, all right? You need to have the date, okay? You need to have the meeting time and the meeting location, okay? And this will also be emailed to all faculty, staff, and students within the department. Now you can have some icon, those little logos down there if you want. What I did last semester is I actually emailed those to everybody so they had them. Anybody want them? Okay, some folks probably do, okay, because you may not have those. I'll email those to y'all. Okay. Anything you want to chime in on yet? Okay, good. The next thing you see there is, all right, as far as that flyer and actually number three, the biosketch. There's an example of a biosketch at the very end. We'll talk about that. These need to be emailed to Dr. Hodges and me the Friday before your presentation, before noon, okay? It's easier just to send it. You can send it weeks in advance, a month in advance. It doesn't matter. You know what you're going to talk about. You know your bio sketch is you. You know who you are. All right. So you can put these together, you know, pretty quick. Just send them to us, okay? And the reason that we're stringent on that is because we have to then send them out to all the faculty and give them adequate notice, and we send it to the college and all that stuff. So, again, if it's late, then you're going to be deducted some points. So the Friday before you present, the Friday before you present. Okay? Clear? All right, good. Now, let's see, biosketch. There is an example here on the back of biosketch of one of my students. What does it contain? It can contain lots of different things, whatever you want to put in it. But where you were born, where you went to school, job experience you've received, and anything else you may want to include that seems to be pertinent or professional is fine. And then what you're doing your research on. Even if you are doing a lecture-based topic, a contemporary topic, let everybody know what your research is on and who you're studying under, okay? And then lastly, what seminar you're doing. If you're doing the first seminar or if this is the second seminar, because that'll cue in the audience of what type of where you are with respect to what type of presentation you should be giving. You should indicate what also your presentation topic is on. If it's on a side study, if it's, for example, the second presentation, second seminar, it's on a side study, or it's a second seminar and you elected to do it on a contemporary topic, and that contemporary topic is this. And that's how it should say, so that it cues the audience in, y'all. If it's your first seminar, it's your very first seminar, and you're going to be proposing what you're going to do for your master's or PhD research, and etc. Now, that bio sketch is then going to be used, and you're going to be introduced by whoever is you're presenting with. So we have two presenters per day, and you will introduce your co-presenter, they will introduce you. Okay? So the other thing, when you send this in your flyer, we then send that bio sketch to your co-presenter. You don't have to worry about doing that. You may not know who you're presenting with until you receive that bio sketch. Okay? Is that clear? Okay, cool. All right. Now, let's talk about the presentation requirements. Okay. How are we doing on time? You got about quarter to?
Yeah.
Okay, good. First seminar. Again, it's on your proposed research. And I'm just going to read through these. Can I go through these quickly? Because, again, we have examples of these, y'all, that I'm going to show you. So, required components are listed there, which you can also see on the grading sheet. Components include introduction and justification for research, a listing of your objectives, and your proposed methods. I don't care what you're doing. If you're doing a field ecology study, if you're doing forest products, if you're doing mathematical simulations, if you're doing a survey, all of these components are involved in that study. Okay? So everybody's will look different. But everybody will have those components. Okay. And some folks that have actually have maybe done a year of field research or a year of research, and this may be their first seminar, may want to include some preliminary results. That's fine. You can do that, but it's not a requirement. The whole idea is to present your research, your ideas, your methods, and to get to the audience and to get feedback. Okay? Okay, second seminar. Again, we talked about the contemporary natural resource topic. By next Wednesday, we'll have a whole list of them. You can see a few of those there, and you can read those, and they kind of sound like, yeah, those do sound pretty progressive. Okay, the other component is you have to have handouts, okay? And those can be abstracts from peer refereed papers, can be websites, but you should have at least a couple handouts to give to your audience. Again, the other part here, the second one is it results from a side study that will not be presented during your defense, okay? And this is a typical research presentation, where again you have the introduction and justification, you have your objectives, you have your methods, but then you have your results, you have a discussion of those results, and what do those results mean? Okay? How can a biologist or a forester or somebody in forest products, how can they use your results to make their job better, for example? What might even be future directions for research? What did you learn? Okay. All right. Everybody needs to email a presentation title to Dr. Hodges and me by Friday, the 25th of January. Okay? That's the Friday actually before our first graduate presentation. So at this time, right now all you need to do is just I'll pass around the sign-up sheet, and I'll continue to talk while that's going around for signing up here. Okay, you'll notice you need just need to put your name, indicate whether you're a master's or PhD, and whether this is your first or second seminar. Obviously, you don't need to have a title yet, but by the 25th, please send us a title. And if you're doing a lecture topic, please come and chat with us. Chat with your advisors. Your advisors are very keen on what contemporary topics are in your area. It could be completely something outside your area. You can do a contemporary, if you're a wildlife student, you can do a contemporary topic in forest products, something on, you know, maybe bioenergy or something. It should be something that you're interested in doing. You know, this should be a thing, you know, maybe something you've heard about, like, I've always wanted to know about this. This is a great opportunity. Okay? So I'll pass this around here. Yeah, so you should have. Everybody's moving to the front now, right? All right. There are benefits of sitting in the front row. Okay. So let's just flip over there. On the back side, you see grading. Again, as I mentioned earlier, 64% of your grade is the presentation. And then it's broken down into different percents from there, which each portion will be weighted. Of that 64%, 75% of it is the presentation itself, which is all the stuff below. That's equivalent to, parenthetically, you see, 48% of your final grade is actually standing up here and talking. So half your grade is standing up and talking in this class. The other half is coming to class and the other components here, which is presentation flyer, bio sketch, and introducing your speaker. Okay? All right. So, components. Again, we've really kind of already talked about these components, but you can see explicitly here there are a total of 100, there's 100 points total that you can get, 75 points that are dedicated towards the presentation because it's 75%, right? So you can see how those points are broken apart. The first group there that you see, the components, are, have you included these components? And we'll talk about how much you need to go into depth when I show you the examples here. But are these components included? If they're not included, one of those isn't included, then obviously you get 0 points. The next thing is slide quality. And we'll talk about, are your slides organized? Are they clear? Are your images clear? Excessive, really large tables, okay, or excessive text, things like that. We'll talk about this later. Complementary colors and text transitions. Some other things we'll talk about. Delivery, then, as you're up here. Can we hear you? All right. Is your message clear? Do you appear to know what the heck you're talking about? Are you confident when you're up here? And do you have any mannerisms? What's a mannerism? Lots of folks do. What's that? I guess, yeah, maybe. One thing, you have keys. Empty your pockets before you get up here, all right? You know, saying a lot is a common one. Okay. Just remember, everybody gets nervous. The good speakers learn how to control their nerves, and actually after you speak a lot, then you really don't get really too nervous too much anymore, okay? A good way to help calm your nerves is to talk slowly, all right? Take a deep breath, think through your words, and just take your time, okay? So once you get going up here, things tend to take off. It's usually that, you know, as you're waiting to get up there, sometimes you get nervous. But there's no reason to be. Remember, this is a very friendly environment. And that's the intent. Kind of baby stepping it. You know, again, you go from your advisor to your lab to here to then maybe a state or a regional conference or a national conference, international conference. Okay, then responses to questions. Number one, you repeated the question. It was a little bit comical last year because one thing that you forget to do is repeat questions a lot. And then you're like, oh, no, I forgot to repeat the question. Yeah, we do grade you on that. But it is only 3 points, so don't get too freaked out about it if you forget to repeat the questions. Why do we ask you to repeat the questions? There are two reasons. Number one, your podcast, okay? The folks that are listening at home will not be able to hear the questions that are asked by the audience. Number two, this is a technique that you should become proficient in, because when you are giving professional presentations at conferences, for the most part, it isn't in a small room like this. It's usually much larger. And it's always good to repeat those questions, because a lot of times the audience cannot hear what was asked. All right? And as students, you're often evaluated at these conferences to get an award, right? I've served as a judge before, and that's always one of the things on there. Did they repeat their questions? And if you do, you get a check mark. Or if you don't, you don't. Okay, so we evaluate you here as well. Time. Okay, 15 to 20 minutes. One, for every minute you're outside of that range, if it's less or more, okay, 1 point will be deducted. You have a total of 5 points there. Okay, so again, it's not a whole lot, y'all. So, you know, don't freak out too much. Like, all right, I'm just going to cut everything off, and when you could have, in reality, finished everything up in one more minute, and you only had a 1 point loss, okay? If you end your presentation too prematurely, then you may end up getting deducted from lots of the other components that we are still sitting there going, "What? I don't know, I have no idea what they were going to talk about." But that also means that you need to practice several times before you come in here so that you know that, yes, I'm right on time. And this is real, because this is the same thing you do when you're getting ready for a conference, is practice several times, make sure your timing's good, etc. All right. If you hit 25 minutes, we will stop you, because we can't go any longer. And then there won't be any point, there won't be any opportunities for questions. And there's no opportunities for questions, we can't evaluate you on questions, and then that becomes a 10-point deduction. So you might want to be around the 14, 15-minute range, and if you go a little long. Now, we help you, and Sharon will be holding up time cards, and just so that you all hear this now, and remember, our time cards don't count down, they go up, all right? So we show you when you have 10 minutes, when you're at 10 minutes. We show you when you're at 15, I think, minutes, then like 18 minutes, 19 or 20, something like that, okay? And after 20, we just sit there and it's up to you to wrap things up, and we'll cut you out to 25. That hasn't happened yet, but okay. Actually, yeah, it's 10, 15, 18, and 19, we let you know. All right. The last thing here is attire and demeanor. What does attire mean? Well, do you need to wear a three-piece suit? No. Can you wear jeans? No. Those folks had seminar last semester and got deducted for attire because you wore jeans. All right? Dress up, you know, like I am. I mean, it doesn't need to be anything fancy. Just put some slacks on. Okay? All right. Demeanor is just interacting with your audience in a professional manner. And so I can't really think of any examples, but if you were condescending to somebody, something like that, for the most part, everybody, yeah, I don't, anyways, but okay, yeah, yeah, if you tell somebody they don't know crap, you know, that might, I wouldn't say the word crap or cuss or anything like that. That would be not professional demeanor. Okay. Any questions? Or, yeah, what do you know? You're from the North. You're a Yankee. Okay. You good, y'all? I don't really need a call roll, because y'all know you're here, and I'll get attendance as it's going around. So we do have a few moments here. Looks like we have about 20 minutes. No, 10. We have 10 minutes. Okay. Any questions? let's go ahead and get started with this because I want to make sure there's adequate time for us to cover the other two presentations. We certainly won't get through all of this yet, but maybe we'll get through the objectives at least, or through the introduction, so that you can begin to get some ideas of how things should be put together. And this is a real life presentation by one of my students. Now, I'll show you how to use the laser pointer and stuff when it's your turn. We'll worry about it. Things are cut off, but that's because of that projector, so it's no big deal. Okay, y'all, the first thing that you need, obviously, is a title slide. That's pretty self-explanatory. Okay, now what we're talking about here, this is your first seminar. Your first seminar. So if you're, this is your first seminar, all right, pay attention here. You should have the title of what your talk is about, what your research is about. Maybe you should have your name. You should have your what level you are, MS or PhD. And down here it says, I think, University of Tennessee and department or whatever. Okay. All right. You don't need to have necessarily a funding agency on there, but John does. Okay, so pretty clear. Maybe you have a picture or something. Okay, so now, it is not necessary that you have it broken and you have a slide like this that says introduction and justification for research, all right? That's not necessary. I put these slides in here, these little title slides, so that when you're taking notes right now or you look online, you can see where these sections are breaking up. Okay, so this is the introduction and justification for research section. So the first thing that you want to do, and again, this John's doing a field study, but if you're even doing, you know, if you're in the lab, forest products, whatever, survey, you need to let everybody know what is the issue. What is going on? Why are you even doing your research in the first place? Okay, that is the goal of the introduction, and it should be building the information so then it ultimately justifies your research. So by the time you hit those objectives, and those objectives actually say, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to do this, 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 and that. Everybody's like, well, yeah, that makes sense why you're doing it then. Okay, good. That's the goal. Remember, your audience is going to know, outside of your lab and your advisor, probably isn't going to know very much of what's going on here. Okay, so it's your job to inform them. So John is doing a study on shorebirds, and he starts off and talks about how wetlands are declining, and shorebirds depend on wetlands, and this is a big issue because there's less wetlands out there, right? And so he has these statistics he talks about, you know, nationwide, and then, okay, down in Tennessee, we've lost 60% of our wetlands, and et cetera. And then he talks about how birds use wetlands, and there's lots of different birds that use wetlands. But you know what he's interested in is shorebirds, and why are shorebirds important, and in the availability of those wetlands important? Well, it's because they migrate longer than any other bird that's out there. Okay, some of them up to 12,000 kilometers in a year they'll migrate, and so they need these wetlands to acquire food resources. And he talks about the migration paths, and they're coming down. This and that through the central United States, breeding up here in Canada and northern Alaska. They're coming down through right through Tennessee. And in Tennessee, I think there's been around 31 species that have been documented. And there's about 50 species in shorebirds in North America. So there are a good amount of birds that are coming through the state of Tennessee. So we've gone from large to small to our state. Okay. And why is this even, why do we even give a darn? Well, shorebirds are in decline, okay, and this is an issue, and so we have this decline of wetlands, and this is important. Now, why are wetlands in Tennessee important or anywhere for these birds? Well, because these wetlands provide food resources. In particular, for shorebirds, they use mudflats with very little vegetation. They like to get out there and probe around and get aquatic invertebrates in there. He talks about all the inverts they need, like 8 grams of inverts a day, and how important these sites are. Okay, so we need shallowly flooded mudflats or exposed mudflats in the Tennessee River Valley to help these birds survive and make these long migration treks and all this stuff. And so, Tennessee River Valley, why do we even care in the Tennessee River Valley? Well, in the Tennessee River Valley that we see here, He talks about the geographic location of it. TVA controls the availability of those mud flats along the Tennessee River because we have a variety of dams that create reservoirs that back water up, and they regulate the water levels within those reservoirs and create mud flats, etc. And so the availability of those mud flats and therefore shorebird habitat depends on TVA and what they're doing in those reservoirs, and that's an issue. And he talks about when they're usually drawn down, when those reservoirs are usually drawn down or historically drawn down, which was in June and July. These birds migrate through these areas starting in July and going through most through September and into October. But what's happening now is that they're proposing, what I think he may have down here, is that they're proposing to delay those drawdowns, which could reduce the amount of mudflats available for these birds, which are declining, which, oh, they need them, oh, it's going to be horrible. Okay. So you want to, you know, you do. You want to sell your research, okay, y'all, and you want to get your audience excited in it. Okay. So then they're like, all right, well, hell, this is crazy. What's happening? So why are you doing your research? Then you have, you know, the purpose of his study. You could have a goal statement. This is what this is, an overall arching goal. The goal of my research is to determine the influence of delayed drawdown on water bird use and food abundance. That's what I'm going to do. Now, how am I going to achieve that goal, y'all? Okay? Well, he's going to compare two reservoirs, one that's drawn down early and one that's drawn down late. Okay. And then he lists his objectives. My objectives are, and the way I'm going to achieve that goal is this. Number one, number two, number three, number four, and I think that's it. No, there is a number five. Okay. And so your audience is informed of why you're doing this. Okay? Now from there, and what I want you to remember when we come back and we continue with this presentation on Wednesday, is that when you do your methods, your objectives should be indicated on your method slides, so that the audience then knows how you're achieving those objectives with the methods that you are proposing. Don't leave it up to your audience to try to figure out what goes with what. Make it very clear for them. Okay, and I'll illustrate that later. Are there any questions? We'll finish this up, and then we'll do the other two presentation types next Wednesday. Okay, good. All right. Sign up sheet, yeah, if you could, at least the last person back there, if you could lay it on the table, that'd be great. Thank you, y'all.